From the 915 to H-Town, from the Panhandle Plains to the Valley, and everywhere in between, this is the 50-50 Podcast, presented by Physical Athletics. Join me, Hector Cano, as we cover the Texas high school club and college soccer landscape, along with an inside look at the college soccer recruiting scene. The 50-50 Podcast is a platform about the people and for the people who are dedicated to the beautiful game. Here we go. At long last, it's the 50-50 Podcast. Welcome to our very first episode. We're excited to have you here, our inaugural episode of the 50-50 Podcast, presented by Physical Athletics. They are title sponsor, Physical Athletics. For those of you in El Paso, you can find them at 2270 Joe Battle Boulevard. You can also find them on social media, both Twitter and Instagram, at Physical Athletic. That's singular, at Physical Athletic. So welcome. Happy to have you here. We're absolutely excited about our very first episode. So one of the things that we wanted to dive into right off the bat is, what is the 50-50 Podcast about? A lot of questions that I've been getting, that I've been fielding recently was, hey, what is this about? What is the angle? What is the target audience? And to be honest, the target audience is anybody from, you know, whether you're in the Texas, whether you're a high school soccer player, a club player, you're both, whether you're you have aspirations to play college soccer, you're a high school soccer coach, or even if you're a parent. You know, this is our entire audience. We're dedicated. This is a platform that is dedicated, that it's for the people, covering the people that are dedicated to this game, to the beautiful game. So particularly with an emphasis on, again, Texas high school, club, and college soccer. So this is going to, we're going to dive into a lot of the do's and don'ts of what to do during the college soccer recruiting process. So that's where we'll kind of target parents a good bit. Obviously, this has been a truly unconventional year, as we all know. A lot of lessons learned in the fall season with fall sports at the high school level, just from football and volleyball in particular. And it's an exciting time in terms of the Texas high school soccer scene, because you do have the scrimmages for UIL on the public side that are now underway. So that's exciting. That's good to see. And hopefully we can stay healthy and, again, adhering to all of those COVID protocols. So that's one thing that's very important. So obviously we can tell that this has been truly an unprecedented year in terms of COVID-19, with a lot of teams in the fall who canceled their seasons right from the start. A lot of teams had multiple games canceled. So that will obviously be a gigantic factor in terms of the Texas high school soccer season this year. So far on the private side, when you look at TAPS, they're about a month into their season already, and they're now entering district play. And for the most part, there's been relatively good news to report on that front, where there seems to be very minimal cancellations when it comes to the private side of things for Texas high school soccer, mainly with TAPS. So with scrimmages getting underway throughout the state, they started on Thursday, December 10th. They'll go through, obviously, the 11th, the 12th, and then diving into the next several weeks before the season officially kicks off on December 29th. So it'll be an interesting season for sure. You're not going to see these gigantic tournaments across the state, as most places are going to be pretty much be limited to mini tournaments, four team tournaments. So that'll play a major factor as well. So on today's show, we're excited. I'm personally excited to have, so our very first guest on the 50-50 Podcast will be a gentleman that's near and dear to my heart. His name is Larry Friend. He's the head women's soccer coach at the Air Force Academy. And for some of you that may know me, I coached there. He was my boss for a while, so God help him. he had to put up with me for a good bit while I was there working for him at the Air Force Academy, as well as reporting to him when I was coaching the prep school, which is also there on the grounds at the Air Force Academy. So he's a former mentor of mine. He's brings great energy. There isn't someone that I could think a better first guest to have on our show. So we'll look into, you know, we look forward to Coach Friend joining us later in the episode. So that's it. I mean, we're ready to go. We're ready to get things kicked off. And please be sure to stay with us as we dive into our very first episode. And we have Coach Friend joining us shortly. And just stand by after a word from our local sponsor.
Hi, I'm Armando Aguilar, Director of Strength and Conditioning at Physical Athletics. If you want to take your game to the next level, come to Physical Athletics. Our experienced staff of strength and conditioning coaches bases all of their training programs on a proven successful philosophy and years of research and scientific data. From middle school to the professional level, come see how we apply science to your game to help you improve your performance and reduce your risk of injury.
To learn more, visit Physical Athletics online at physicalathletics.com. Check them out at Facebook and Instagram at Physical Athletics, and visit them today, 2270 Joe Battle.
And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. Make sure you check them out. You can check them out on both on Twitter and Instagram at Physical Athletic. Again, that singular at Physical Athletic. Our first, very first guest, very first inaugural guest on our show. He's a good friend of mine, longtime mentor. Someone who got help him. He had to put up with me for a few years at the Air Force Academy, and I'm excited to have him here. He's Larry Friend, head women's soccer coach at the Air Force Academy. Coach, welcome.
Thanks, Hector. It's an honor to be the first one on your show. It's good to see you again, too. I loved it when you worked with our team, and you worked all the sports camps at the Air Force Academy, and of course ran the team down at the prep school as well. And all of those contributions were significant to making our program better.
Awesome, Coach. Awesome. Yeah, it's again also an honor to have you here as well. And you know, I keep getting asked. I got to put you a little bit on the spot here. I keep getting asked by people when you're going to drag me back to the Air Force Academy. But we'll see. I tell them it's like, hey, I don't know. I don't think he's that desperate yet. So
we're not high enough on the pecking order.
All right. So Coach, so we'll jump right in. Tell me, how are you, how's your family, and how's the women's soccer program at the Air Force Academy holding up right now through this pandemic?
You know, family's good. We've made our adjustments. I've got a daughter at UCCS, and she's, you know, grinding through computer science there. I got another daughter at, working at Memorial North. She's on the front lines working in the labs. And my son's out there in the Air National Guard out in California and doing well. The team, I'd say it was hard. We got back, you know, we kept our seniors for graduation and they stayed on campus. And then we did a social distance graduation, brought back the rest of the cadet wing in June. And so they just left campus over the last week. I think the last group got out on the 8th of December. So It was a hard fall season, but we tried to make the best of that, you know, keeping their spirits up and keeping it as fun and as active as we can. And just having soccer practice kept things as close to normal as possible for them.
Right. Absolutely. And I think for those of us can imagine, for those of us that don't know, everything at a service academy, particularly the Air Force Academy, it's all about routine, right? Trying to establish a routine. So I could only imagine. So talk to us a little bit, Coach, about the kind of the other limitations on the other side of it, not your current, obviously your current team, but potential incoming recruits on the college recruiting side. The dead period, which has been continuously extended now through, I believe, still April 15th, I believe. And talk to us a little bit about that, what you all as a staff have encountered through that, your thoughts on that, and just the significance it has, particularly on the service academy, at such as the Air Force Academy.
Yeah, I think, you know, the last time everybody was out recruiting was in February. And you know, it's very hard. Everybody's had to transition. All the D1 schools have literally had to go to video, which is hard for coaching staffs, but it's also really hard for the student athlete. You know, they're used to going out to tournaments, getting the excitement of being there, trying to win a game, getting all the juices flowing. And, you know, now they're playing pretty much in an empty environment, trying to do the best they can to put game film together and get it out to the college coaches. That makes it extremely difficult because it takes a lot more time now to analyze game film. And then, you know, everybody's campuses have been closed. Ours has been closed to visitors for the entire fall. And so, you know, even if they wanted to come and visit on their own and not meet with us, they still wouldn't be able to get on the campus. And that makes it really difficult for a young person to try to make a decision on where they want to go to school.
Right, right. And in terms of, I guess, so people can kind of get an idea, particularly for, you know, a D1 program, a group of five, if you will, D1 program. What is the current recruiting outlook? What does it look like right now in terms of class? Where are you at in terms of what you can share as far as what you're looking at, as far as what year, what graduate year, how far along are you all? So I think this helps give more people an inside behind the scenes look as to how D1 programs operate.
Yeah, so, you know, with some of the rule changes in the NCAA where people, they stopped doing the early commitments and they kind of came to a compromise in the middle. Whereas it used to be you couldn't do your official visit until your senior year, you can now do that your junior year. But on the other side of it, you cannot meet with the coaches at all those first 2 years. And part of that was to slow it down to give people a chance to do some research on where does a school fit me best academically, socially, financially, the soccer team. Is it the kind of campus I want to be on? And a lot of those decisions weren't able to be as made as easily when you're asking someone who's fresh out of middle school to then commit to a college program. So I think the good news with the regular rules is that's giving people a chance to do that exploration and figure out what's, you know, what's best for them. The hard part with this is it's extremely hard to, one, get seen, and two, get on the campus and meet with staffs. So I think it's slowed everybody down. So when you're asking, you know, where schools are, you know, usually schools would be working on 22s and 23s, but I think there's a lot of schools out there that are still working on their 21s and trying to get those people on. And the 21s, you know, I just feel bad for that whole year of players in every sport because, you know, it's nerve-wracking trying to figure out. You may have to make a decision on a school, and the only time you've seen that campus is through a virtual Zoom call.
Right. And for those that may not know, really, in terms of the Air Force Academy, you and I both know, obviously, the Air Force Academy is it's a very special place. Every service academy is very different as well. So can you enlighten, you know, we're going to have coaches, high school coaches, student athletes, here, soccer players, club players across the state of Texas who may be listening to this, as well as parents. What can you shed a little bit of light on how different it is to attend the Air Force Academy, recruiting at the Air Force Academy? Because obviously I know you and I both know that we've lived it. But what does that look like? How different is that from, I guess, your, for lack of better words, your run-of-the-mill D1 program that isn't a service academy?
Sure. And, you know, there's five service academy options. You know, you've got the Coast Guard, you've got the Naval Academy, you've got Army West Point, you've had the Air Force Academy, and then you even have the Merchant Marine Academy. And all of those do not carry NCAA scholarships. What they carry is congressional appointments. But the good news is everybody at those schools, whether you're playing a sport or not, are going to get 100% of your school paid for, and you're going to get a stipend each month. At the academy, the academies are roughly around $1,000. Now, you won't see all that money your first year because you're paying off uniforms and all that. But it's going to be a very high academic standard. You're going to take a heavy course load. You're going to have to, try to balance out three things as opposed to a regular school where you might be able to take a very light course load and then just focus on your sport. With an academy, you're going to have a very high academic program. You're going to have military commitments. And then on top of that, you're going to try to play your sport. So it is really challenging, but it's also really rewarding. And, with over 900 career fields to go into after you graduate, it's a pretty exciting future for yourself.
And is there anything, do you feel there's anything you could share with one of maybe the biggest common misconceptions with that will come from maybe recruits and or parents as it relates to the Air Force Academy that maybe that you can dispel a little bit that you come across when you're on the recruiting road?
Yeah, I think one of the best ways to describe it is when you meet the people there, you'll find a lot of like-minded people that they care about their GPA, they want to compete, they're looking for a challenge and they want to serve. I would say they're ordinary people trying to accomplish something extraordinary. And, for people looking at those opportunities, it's not just the academy itself, but it's the post-grad opportunities. I mean, they can send you to med school, they can send you to flight school, dental school, law school. A lot of the cadets will graduate from there and end up getting a post-grad degree, a master's at a civilian school beyond there. So a lot of the myths out there is especially for the women, is you don't have to cut your hair anymore for basic training. You smile, Hector, but that's a deal closer for some people. Like, coach, if I have to cut my hair, that school's out, And so
right.
I think another one is they think that, I'm going to graduate and then they're just going to point and say, you're going to war here. And as you know, from your career and maybe from my career, it's very much like a large company where you're going to work with, you're going to work with human resources and you're going to try to figure out, hey, this is my career path. I would like to go here. And it's a give and take to try to figure out where your next assignment would be. And there will be times when the bell gets rung and you're going to have to deploy, or you may have to take an overseas assignment that you're not crazy about. But that happens both in the military and the civilian world. I think another myth is, I'll ask them, I was in the Air Force for 20 years, how many times do you think I marched? And they're like, every day. I'm like, I didn't march once in my 20 years. Now you march at the academy because there's the history of this, there's military tradition there. There's a little bit of camaraderie being built, but that would be a really waste of a college degree to have people marching when they're an engineering major. Or they, they've got an aeronautical degree and they're designing aircraft.
Right.
So those are some of the myths that we have to work on with them to realize you do have a choice in where you can work, what you can do, and where you can be, and to take a little bit of the Hollywood out of it and let them know that it's a great company to work with.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that's while it's not a requirement, I think one of the things that is very important is when we can shed a little bit of light also on your background, not only played at the Air Force Academy and are an Air Force Academy graduate, but, you're a retired Air Force veteran and you flew helicopters for pretty much the length of your career. And I know that is something that's very important when you go and speak to a recruit, talk to parents about the importance of coming to the Air Force Academy, because you've been there, you've walked in their shoes, and you're really giving them firsthand experience, firsthand guidance. I can only imagine how much that's really helped you along the way in the recruiting trail, especially when they look into your background and they see that, hey, this guy's lived the life that he's trying to ask my daughter to commit to.
Yeah, nobody asked me or you to do a full career. We both took assignments at a time, and I never thought I would do a full 20 years serving the Air Force and serving our country. But I finished my first assignment over in Japan flying helicopters, and they're like, hey, what do you think about Patrick Air Force Base, Florida? and working with the space shuttle and resupplying stations in the Caribbean, doing the radar and the navigation for the Navy. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like fun. And before I knew it, I had done those two. And they said, how would you come back and coach soccer at the academy? I'm like, well, that sounds like fun too.
Sold.
How would you like to go back and fly and you know, be out of Washington, D.C. and fly everyone from the vice president on down? That sounds like a lot of fun. And then the return to the academy, being able to explain how those assignments happen to someone and how the process works, it does really help. And then the fact that it was just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun for both of us. Now, I was fortunate. I didn't get banged up as badly as you did in my Air Force career. Most of mine are self-inflicted, playing too much soccer, but you took a little bit more of a beating out there.
It's all the same. It was with part of, we knew what we were signing up for, but yeah, no, I think it's the way I looked at it too. I'm sure just like you were, it beats sitting in an office and sitting in a cubicle all day. Right. So to be able to put that on the resume is pretty awesome. So last year, Coach, I know your 2019 season, you guys had your, it was a pretty historic season. I know you won, was it 10 matches, 11? Was it how many? Or 10?
Matches, yeah.
So, and that was the most in how long in program history?
I think the last time, 99, they won 11.
99? Okay, so wow, yeah. So pretty much 20 years exactly, right? So going into obviously pre-pandemic, you're prepping, you're getting ready for the 2020 season with a lot of momentum, right? And so now you're having to adjust a little bit. Everything's changed post-pandemic, but now that you've had to make the adjustments, your programs had to make the adjustments. Talk a little bit about what that spring season and the future outlook for the Air Force Academy, the women's program at the Air Force Academy. What does that look like?
Well, I think it looks really good, and there's a lot of excitement. One is just you have more and more people trying to apply to the academy. We probably have over 40,000 inquiring. Ticket costs at 1,200, and people are beginning to realize what an opportunity. You know, it's fun, it's exciting. So that's helped us as well, because you have stronger and stronger players coming to the academy. And I think they know that, you know, if you do what's right for soccer, you're probably going to be okay in life. You know, show up on time in the right uniform, with the right attitude, ready to work, and that's going to help you no matter what you do. And you know, we've got a group of players that are risk takers. They have a lot of fun, and they're looking forward to getting out there and competing in the Mountain West Conference.
Absolutely. A highly, highly, highly underrated, I got firsthand experience, a very highly underrated soccer conference. So I love it. I miss it. So, you know, as we start transitioning here a little bit, you got kids, you got parents listening, across the state of Texas. What are your thoughts? I kind of wanted to get some thoughts on, you know, what you notice, what kind of comes to mind about a Texas kid, or what have you noticed in recruiting Texas kids? And, you know, this is kind of your opportunity here to, you know, just to sell them a little bit on the Air Force Academy as well. But what, you know, what comes to mind? What have you noticed? What are the thoughts on recruiting kids from Texas?
Pretty patriotic state, wonderful people, very competitive. When Texas makes a decision to compete something, it's usually going to be at a very high level. You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, do they want to leave Texas, take a look at what other opportunities are across the country, because it is a fun state to be from. You know, and if they've done all the things that a student needs to do, you know, taking care of their test scores, which a lot of those got canceled this year. But you can still take care of your GEA, but you have challenges with that too, because it's online classes. But it's also really my recommendation to the women and men soccer players coming from Texas is, you know, take a look at what the opportunities are, take a look at what matches you, because the amount of people that are going to get drafted into the pros is going to be really small. you know, in the women's game, it might be 28 to 30 players. So you're really doing this to have a wonderful college experience, but to walk away with an education that's going to help you to be able to be, you know, have a good opportunity out there in the working world. But they've done very well overall, Texas players. They compete. They're gritty, not afraid to get after it a little bit.
Has there been a particular characteristic that you've noticed that you've seen in most kids that you've recruited and have played for you at Texas? One particular characteristic that you've seen the most? Competitive. Awesome. Well, that's good. All right, Coach. Well, hey, I know we're going to have you stay with us for one more segment. Those of you don't go anywhere. Just hang tight and wait for us after a word from our sponsors.
Sun City Prep Academy is currently accepting registration for its postgraduate and elite youth academy teams for the upcoming training season. For more information, visit our website, www.suncityprep.com. Unlock your potential. Compete at the highest level. Find your future at Sun City Prep Academy.
And we're back. Welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. We are with the head women's soccer coach at the Air Force Academy, Coach Friend. And Coach, so now we're transitioning here. So we got our counterattack segment, all right? So I throw it out there. We kind of go rapid fire here. I throw it at you and then kind of either association, you can elaborate on things a little bit. We have some fun with it. So you ready?
Ready.
All right, let's go. All right, so first question, pregame and or postgame rituals. What do you got?
Pregame, definitely dancing in the locker room and singing at a volume that's way too loud for me.
All right.
No postgame, always about the process. So whether we won or lost, got to get a cool down in, got to take care of your body, got to hydrate, got to eat, and got to get ready for the next event.
All right. Other sport you'd coach, if not soccer?
Other sport I coached, taught my kids how to ski. Yeah.
Or other sport you would have coached if not being a professional soccer coach? What do you think?
That's a good question. I think it still brings me back to the mountains, skiing.
All right, good. I like it. All right, so now this one's a little similar but different. So other profession, if not a coach altogether, what do you think you would have been? Well, this one, technically you've already done it, but what else?
You know, I love to travel. The flying was fun. So I probably would have gotten another flying business in something that took me around the world.
Now you're just bragging. Just because you're a helicopter pilot, you're just bragging. Dog or cat person and why?
Dog. Absolutely. They're loyal. You can come home a little stinky from practice. You can be in a good mood, bad mood, but they are always in the same mood, ready to just be there for you.
Your favorite and least favorite soccer team, professional soccer club?
Bayern Munich. I didn't have a choice with that. My uncle and my mom, they grew up in Garmisch-Partenkirchen, and Bayern was the team. And as a young kid, they bought me the gear and said, "You're a Bayern man." I was 7 years old, didn't really even understand what European soccer was about back then.
You got recruited at an early age, right? So least favorite soccer club. You have one?
No, I don't think I have a least favorite one. I have a least favorite style. You know, I mean, anyone that's not willing to try to play the game fairly, you know, if they're playing on, you know, the dirty hits after the play and all of that, I think it just takes away from the game. And anyone that plays like that, I'm having a time for.
Yeah, they have a word for that, right? Gamesmanship, I believe is what they like to call that, what they like to hide behind, right? All right, so non-soccer related, so your favorite and least favorite team, any sports, favorite and least favorite?
Favorite and least favorite team. I guess if you look at American football, I grew up with the Washington Football Club, and my least favorite team was, unfortunately, from your state.
Don't say it. We'll have to edit out this portion. Don't say it. I actually did not know that, really, all this time. And you're a football teamer, huh?
Yeah, I mean, grew up with it in the D.C. area, and you know, between the Colts and the Washington Football Club. You know, we were right between the two. But then the Colts left town in the middle of the night, so couldn't follow them anymore.
Somehow, maybe, I think I just blocked that one out because I don't recall remembering that one. So, all right, Coach. So, secret talent, hidden talent. What do you got?
Secret talent. I'm on the fly, middle class, below average rapper.
Rapper, yes. That I am aware of. That I've seen. I've seen that first. I've witnessed that firsthand. All right. Here's a different one. So the most random thought that has entered your brain while in the middle of a soccer match. Coaching, that is. Most random thought entered your mind while you're coaching a soccer match.
I was coaching one of my kids' teams, and we were down 1-0 and the wind picked up, and I just looked up and like, wow, those trees are beautiful. And before I knew it, we took a shot and the wind was in our favor. And it just, this person probably hit a ball 20 to 25 yards farther than they had ever hit it. And then the wind died. So the ball dropped right into the goal for the tie, right in the middle, and everyone else is going crazy. And I'm still looking at the trees going, those trees are beautiful. Random moment for me. But then I did get into the celebration with everybody else.
There, good recovery. Good recovery. I like it. Funniest moment that you can share with a recruit. Something in the middle of the recruiting scene. Just funniest moment you can recall with a recruit.
We had a recruit come on campus, and we were going to the football game, and the hockey team was doing a thing where they get out and they meet with the children coming to the football game. So they had this huge orange cone, and then they had these little hockey pucks that had a Velcro on them that would stick to the cone. And she goes, I'll do that. And so she put the cone on and ran around while the little kids were hitting her with the hockey pucks. And that was pretty hilarious to watch. And she just that kind of person, really outgoing, and said, yep, let me give it a shot.
So is there a happy ending to that story? Did that recruit end up at the Air Force Academy?
She did. She did quite well last year.
That'll do it. Awesome. And final question, Coach. All right, so Sunday dinner, right? First big Sunday dinner, family dinner, post-pandemic. You're the chef. All right. You got everybody coming over. What are you cooking?
Oh, that's a good one. I think we do a little stir fry, you know, get some fresh meats and vegetables in there, throw it on a bed of rice, and let people choose how hot they want their sauce to be.
There you go. Kind of a bit stir fry / Mongolian style, maybe a little bit?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. I like it. Well, Coach, thank you. Thank you again for joining us. It's an honor, privilege. It's great to see you again. It's an honor to have you, especially as our very first guest, our inaugural guest. Any final thoughts, anything you can plug? Where can we, those of us that might be interested in the Air Force Academy and the Air Force Academy Women's Soccer Program, where can we find you?
Yeah, I won't speak to the Academy directly, but I think, you know, again, Texas is a great state. I really appreciate what you're trying to do down there to make sure that everybody's looking at their college opportunities. And that's what we're really talking about here is, can you have fun playing the game you love? Can you get an education out of that? And then when you get a little older, can you give back to the game? I think that would be the biggest thing. And then I just, again, appreciate the time that we spent together up here. And who knows, maybe we'll get that chance again.
Awesome. Hey, I'm waiting. I'm on the bat phone anytime. So, and where can we want to get any more information, Coach, on the Air Force Academy itself and the women's soccer program, social media, website? Where can you, any information you can share?
Yeah, we've got a Twitter account. We've got Instagram. We've got Facebook. You can follow us on any of those. And then, of course, the Air Force Academy website does update into. But my assistant coach, Mrs. Strauss, does a really good job handling all those. And she's put out some really cool videos that people can watch and get to know the cadets as people, which I think will help them to take away some of the intimidating parts of the Air Force Academy and let them see that, hey, these are just regular people rolling through here.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you again, Coach. It's been an absolute pleasure. He's Larry Friend, head women's soccer coach of the Air Force Academy Women's Soccer Program. Thank you again for your time, Coach. Appreciate it. For those of you, stay with us. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Welcome to Project Play, an innovative organization where after-school sports, fitness initiatives, and positive community events collide. Project Play is a 501(c) organization driven by the belief that all youth in underserved communities will have access to participate in a variety of sports, get physically fit while staying involved in enriching after-school activities. The program supported by Project Play will provide its participants with safe and accessible places to play, opportunities for positive adult mentorship, and will address the importance of academic success, life skills development, and the decrease of illegal substance use. Our programs cannot exist without the support we receive through donations, partnerships, and grant awards. If you or someone you know would like to help our organization continue to deliver quality programs to thousands of children each year, please donate. Your support will have a positive impact on the communities we serve.
And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Before we leave, as I previously mentioned, one of the things that we wanted to look at today was we were going to jump into kind of these preseason rankings that were released by, you know, they're done on an annual basis by Tasco, who they do a great job over at Tasco. They have, obviously, they have regional directors throughout, and they put out these surveys to all the coaches, and through these surveys and the data collected, and then with the regional directors, this is how they kind of formulate their preseason rankings. And the way they do them is they're done by region rather than just like a top 10 for the state. So we're going to dive into those a little bit and kind of discuss them briefly. And then we will, before we wrap up, we'll also ask, as I had previously mentioned, we're going to try to get some input from what you guys think as some of the schools, some of the players to look out for. Besides your perennial powers, you know, the perennial powers, it kind of goes without saying, that's to be expected. So some of the ones that stood out to me, so, you know, we looked at region at the 4A level, region one, you see Midlothian Heritage on the boys and girls side, and also out in near my neck of the woods out here in El Paso, you have San Elizario High School. They are they're a power at the 4A level, obviously, particularly on the boys' side, as they're technically still defending their state title that they won in 2019, since there was no actual state tournament this past year in 2020. So, interesting group there. You also have new to the 4A level. On the boys' side is you have El Paso Riverside, which is definitely a power. At the 5A level, you know, they played in one of the most brutal 5A districts on the boys' side last year. So now, by them moving down to the 4A level, they should have some serious say at the 4A level, not just within Region 1, but across the state. So definitely looking forward to that. At the 5A level, with again still region 4, you have one that sticks out to me. Obviously, you have Brownsville Lopez rated number one. Actually, your top two teams at the 5A level in region 4 are based out of Brownsville. But one to kind of keep your eye on there is I'd say San Antonio Southwest. They've been gradually kind of building some momentum leading up to this, as they're actually sitting there at number three. So should be a good group to see. You have your perennial powers there in Alamo Heights out of San Antonio, Bernie Champion out of San Antonio. Again, this is the boys' side that we're talking about. So it should be interesting. On the girls' side, for Region 4 or 5A, you have Dripping Springs that comes in at number one. Alamo Heights, that's a very, very tough group. Alamo Heights
comes in ranked at number two in Region 4, and Bernie Champion sitting there at preseason ranked number three in Region 4. So it should be a very, very tough group. And then at the 6A level for Region 4, the kind of goes without saying, you see there, you have sitting there at the number one spot for the boys at the 6A Region 4, you have San Antonio Lee, who's pretty much came up short in the state title game in 2019, went to penalty kicks. So they're sitting right, you know, that whole region, you have them, you have Austin Lake Travis at number two, San Antonio Reagan at number three, you have Austin Westlake at five, and a team that's really up and coming is, someone to keep your eye on is San Antonio Churchill. Very good group, very strong group. And there's a lot of people in the San Antonio area that think that San Antonio Churchill might finally have San Antonio Lee's number. So that should be an interesting dynamic that that unfolds this year in district play. And on the girls' side for Region 4, it's kind of your top three are all out of the same district, out of Austin, Lake Travis, Vandergrift, and Westlake. So that should be another dynamite group. With the one that stands out to me there is you have one team that I'm really high on, been following for a good bit, is you have on the girls' side is you have San Antonio Lee sitting at number six, and that should be that's going to be kind of that could potentially be your dark horse there. So that's kind of what we want to look at is who are your dark horses? Who do you think is going to be your the team that might kind of come out of nowhere, that's kind of sitting, that's kind of maybe under the radar, might be a surprise. Is there a clear front runner in every classification, whether it's 6A, 5A, 4A, in every, you know, at every level. So that's kind of what we want to hear. So hit us up. Make sure you can feel free to, you know, DM us, send information we're on Twitter at 50_50pod, as well as, and then also on Instagram at 50_50podcast. So please hit us up, share those thoughts. So again, today we're only going to cover Region 4 for today. So we went over 4A, 5A, and 6A. Next episode, we'll look at Region 3. So we're working our way backwards from Region 4 to Region 1. So that's something to let us know. Let us know. Please feel free to, again, DM us, share your thoughts, share information as far as, hey, who's, is there a clear-cut front runner in a particular region? Is there a clear-cut front runner ahead of what you think everybody else that has a ton of talent, a ton of seniors coming back in the classification, you know, whether it's 4A, 5A, or 6A, or within a particular region, you know, a team that could make should be kind of head and shoulders above everybody else. Is there anybody that you feel there is? Who are those dark horses, whether it's within the region or also within a classification? Is there one or two teams that are just kind of, hey, they have the potential if things fall just right? And then what about your surprises? The up and coming, the well-coached teams, they have some good talent. They were shining last year going into the state tournament, and they have a lot of people coming back. So that's another one to think about, is the surprises. Is there anybody that you say, hey, maybe keep your eye on in this group out of this region in this classification? So whether it's 4A, 5A, or 6A. And then for players, the other thing that we want to do is, because this is where we're shedding light on our actual players, our student athletes across the state, is again, who's somebody that you think is going to do great things at the next level, whether it doesn't matter whether it's D1, D2, D3, NAIA, and then some dark horses, some surprise players, some diamonds in the rough, if you will. Start dropping your huddle, your highlight videos, share them with us. Again, we're on Twitter at 50_50pod. That's definitely the best way to share those highlight reels with us. And then we're also on Instagram at 50_50podcast. So, let us know what you think. Let us know, give us insight. And then the big thing, obviously, that's hanging over all of this is the COVID-19 variable, right? The X factor, the how, you know, there's vaccines on the horizon. A lot of that is projected to possibly get into the general public, hopefully what sounds like in the second quarter. So sometime as early as we could say maybe March, April. But until then, what transpires is you're going to see some teams that are they going to outright forfeit district games? Is it going to be a no contest as we saw with fall sports? So that is going to be a gigantic, that'll be the, whether you want to call it the 800 pound gorilla in the room, 500 pound elephant, whatever you species you want to pick, you get the point, is that's something to definitely keep in mind. So let us know what you think. Again, hit us up on Twitter at 50_50pod. Let us know what you think, your insight, things you want to share. And then we'll be sure to incorporate that as best as we can within future episodes as we dive into the Tasco regional rankings, preseason rankings for Region 3 in our next episode. So once again, thank you for joining us. This has been the very first episode of the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Again, for those of you in El Paso, please be sure you hit up our sponsor, Physical Athletics. They do their director of strength and conditioning, Coach Armando Aguilar, doing tremendous things with student athletes. So again, whether you're a middle schooler, high schooler, college student athlete, or a pro, they work with everybody. So you can hit them up, 2270 Joe Battle Boulevard, those of you again in El Paso, and you can also find them both on Twitter and Instagram at Physical Athletic. Thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. Take care. You've been listening to another episode of the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Help us continue to grow by liking, rating, and subscribing on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 50_50pod and at Coach H. Cano, as well as on Instagram at 50_50podcast. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening. Thank you.